Class is back in session. It's time for Baptist Basics University from BaptistBasics.org.
All right, it's time for Baptist Basics University. Once again, I'm Matthew Gage. This is lesson number 2 in our Bible History and Customs series. And boy, that's a mouthful to say. You think I could come up with something better than that. But that's very, very descriptive of what we cover in this series. This is lesson number 2, and we're going to deal with the Jewish calendar in this lesson. And I hope you're still with me after the first lesson. This one is not going to be quite as dull. I know I promised you, because I just recorded lesson number 1. I know I promised you they weren't all going to be dull. This one is not going to be the most exciting one either. But we'll get into some stuff, just how the Jewish calendar works, how they dealt with time, how they what they called days of the week. And you will hear me slaughter the Hebrew language if I try to say some of these. Some of them I'm not even going to try. You can get the notes. You can look it up. It's all out there. But we're going to talk about, how they measured time, how they named their weeks, how their months. We're going to talk about how that correlates to our Western, the Gregorian calendar. We'll talk about some of the major feast days, and I'm going to have the notes on the website. If you happen to listen to this through iTunes or something, I usually don't put the notes out until they're on the iTunes feed until they're complete. But I do put them up as I'm working on the course in an incomplete form. I will put them up on the podcast website as a PDF file, and you can get it and look at it. And I've got some links on this one that will help you. It's some of the sources that I have used, and some of them are very good and explain this a whole lot better than I can. A lot of them are Jewish resources and stuff. So I think that will help you. So, all right, well, let's get started. Okay, first thing is, when we're dealing with the Jewish calendar, clear your mind of almost everything you know about time and the calendar, because it's going to be quite different. So let's start with, we're going to start kind of with the smallest and work our way up. We're going to talk about how they measured like time as in hours. Then we'll talk about the week and days. And then we'll talk about the year. And then then we'll talk a little bit about, at the end, I'm going to give you some of the major holy days in the Jewish calendar that are still celebrated today. And give you, I don't want to go really in depth on them. I may actually devote a whole lesson to them at some point in the future. I don't know if it'll be in this series or not, because this is very interesting stuff, and it's stuff that we don't really focus on. But the thing that makes it very hard is you got to figure out, how do modern Jews celebrate these days, and how did they really celebrate it, in the times of like the temple, because it's totally different. But anyway, we'll deal with that when we get there. Okay, so let's get started. The Jews measure time quite differently than we do today. Now, I'm going to say, I hate to say it that way, because the Jewish calendar is still in use. Jews still use it. But as far as an American, the Western civilization, this is a very different form of calendar. Now, it's very similar to other cultures. In fact, some of this, when we get into time measurement and stuff, is very, very similar to like the way the Romans did it. So, it may seem very foreign to us, but it's not that foreign as far as a concept or even the methodology behind it. It's actually very similar to many other calendars and many other systems that are out there. The first oddity to the Western mind, we are so used to our days beginning, 12 o'clock midnight. and they last from 12 o'clock midnight to 12 o'clock midnight. When the, you know, New Year's Eve, when the clock strikes 12, it goes from December 31st to January 1st, and, you know, everybody celebrates. That's not the way the Jewish calendar works. The Jewish day begins at sundown and lasts till sundown. And you think, okay, well, how did they come up with that? It's because, and you think, okay, well, wouldn't the sun rising, that should be the start of a new day. We even talk about that figuratively in our culture. No, well, with the Jews, you have to go back to Genesis and the creation, because in the creation, excuse me, in the creation story in the book of Genesis, it talks about, and the evening and the morning were the first day, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Because of the way it says that, the Jewish day does the same thing, evening and morning, night, day, So that is how they came up with how they do their time. And I'm not sure if there is another culture that does that. I really didn't research it, but that is a very, very, very different, very unique way to do it. Now, how could you tell, hey, is it night, is it day? There's not a clock, you know, how do you do it? Well, it's easy. You know, is the sun up? Hey, it's day. Now, night, oh boy, if you want to get into night, this actually is very complicated, because they had a couple different ways of saying, okay, it's no longer daytime, it's now nighttime. One was, okay, is the sun completely below the, you know, out of sight? Hey, it's nighttime. Another one was, hey, can we see stars or certain stars? Well, hey, now it's nighttime. So I guess if it was cloudy, it was always daytime, you know. I'm sure, you know, probably a combination of all of these different systems, you know, were in place. But that's basically how they decided. Now you think, you know, we're so used to very precise time. In the ancient world, you know, they didn't need precise time, not like today. You know, we've got computers and mechanical systems that need to be timed to the nanosecond for it all to work. Well, back then, it's not like things moved at a very fast pace. So that was close enough, you know. Hey, sun's not quite down. Oh, now it is. Now it's not time. You know, that worked for them today. Now, I would hate to run, you know, the world on that today. Now, you think about it, you know, you're just, all the workers are standing around. They get off at night. And so they're waiting for the sun to disappear. And a guy tries to leave a little bit early and says, hey, I can't see the sun anymore. And the foreman says, well, I can see it. Get back to work, son. You know, imagine the confusion. It wouldn't work in our heavily scheduled society we live in today. But back then, you know, life was a little bit slower. It worked. Now, as far as dividing time up, the Jews, and this is very common, the Romans used a very similar system, and I think the Babylonians did too, but they would divide the daylight and nighttime hours into 12 hours periods. So you had 12 hours during the day and 12 hours at night. Well, that's great. Hey, that sounds just like ours. We have 24 hours too. Here's the fun part. Have you ever noticed that during the course of the year that the length of your daylight hours varies? And, you know, you get over, you know, the winter solstice, you get the solstice, and it's the winter solstice is a really short day, and you have the equinoxes, which are you know, even days, you know, where it's supposed to be exactly even between, you know, daylight and nighttime hours are exactly equal. Well, how did they measure that? Did they account for that? No, they did not. So they just took what, however long they kind of figured daylight to be and divided it by 12. And that is how they figured it. So when I say an hour today, you would think and say, oh, an hour, that's 60 minutes. Well, you know, an hour may not have been 60 minutes, depending on the time of the year. Modern minutes, shall we say. you know, I think I've read that the hour, quote unquote, in Jewish and Roman time could last anywhere between like 45 to 65 minutes, somewhere like that. I mean, it varied quite a bit. And then the fun thing is, okay, let's just use the winter solstice, for example. We have very short daylight hours. So when you take those very short daylight hours and divide it by 12, you get really short hours. At night, there's a whole lot more time. So when you divide it by 12, the hours are super long. So the hours in the daylight time were not equal in time to the nighttime hours. And as I say, it worked. For centuries, that worked. As I say, it's so foreign to us. I'm looking at the clock right now. It's 6:47 p.m., you know, and that is, I think the clock on my computer is being, you know, synced over servers and stuff. I mean, that's supposed to be really accurate. I could pick up my iPhone right now, 6:47. I know that that's being synced over the cellular networks. And when it says 6:48 like it does right now, because it just changed, and it just changed on my computer too. So, I mean, it seems to all be, you know, getting the signal from somewhere. But I can look at that and I know, hey, it's 6:48 right now. It's 6:48 all over the state of Texas. And anybody in my time zone, it's 6:48, you know. And in the other time zone, it's 5:48. You know, I know what time it is. We've got that system in place. That's not the way it worked in ancient times. It's just, you know, where you're at, how long the daylight hours are, and your best guess. Boy, it just kind of seems like, I think it's about the second hour now, you know. I think it's about the eighth hour now. And that's how it worked. Oh, excuse me. I actually have it in the notes. That an hour, quote unquote, could be anywhere between 45 to 90 minutes. I was off. I had 45 right. It's up to 90 minutes is how long a, quote unquote, hour would last. So let's look at the night hours. We'll follow the Jewish custom and go nighttime first. We're going to assume that this is during an equinox and that these hours are, you know, that we have daylight and nighttime. We have 24-hour period by modern standards, and they all equal 60 modern minutes. So let's say 6 p.m. sunsets. 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. is first hour. 7 to 8, second hour. 8 to 9, the third hour. 9 to 10, the fourth hour. And so on. I've got the chart. You can read it all the way to the 12th hour, which would be 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. when the sun would rise. Now, another term that you will see in the Bible is actually a military term that was kind of adopted even into civilian use, and it's a Roman military thing where they would divide their night watches, and they would have four watches during the night. So the first 3 hours were the first watch. Hours 4 through 6 were the second watch. Hours 7 through 9 were the third watch. And hours 10 through 12 would what would be called the fourth watch. So from 6 to 9 is the first watch. 9 to 12 to midnight is the second watch. From midnight to 3 a.m. is the third watch. From 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. is the fourth watch. Now that doesn't take place during the day. That's just a nighttime kind of deal. And you'll see that pop up a little bit in the New Testament, I believe. So just want to throw that out. So in case you see that and think, well, what time is that during the night? Well, that's just, it's a whole lot less precise, but it's just based on how the Romans would rotate their, you know, their guards. Okay, the daylight hour, just as exciting. We have following the same system, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., the first hour, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m., the second hour, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., the third hour. You know, noon to 1 is the 7th hour, and then all the way to the 12th hour, which I did not spell right. We'll get that fixed. There we go. Which would be 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. at sunset, using our example. And that is the day. You're 12 hours at night, and you're 12 hours during the day. And that's how it would work on an equinox. That'd be very, very close, to modern standards. So just to give you an idea of how it works, and, you know, even that's close enough. If you're reading in the Bible and it says, well, you know, in the third hour, you can automatically assume, okay, well, that's somewhere between 8 and 9. And that works. You can get a little bit more technical and say, well, that's during the spring hours, and that, you know, or during the winter hours, maybe shorter or longer. But that'll give you an idea at least, okay, you know, it's the sixth hour during the day. That's high noon. You know, that's the middle of the day. You know, the 11th hour, that's getting late in the day. You know, if it's the 10th hour at night, well, that's getting pretty close to the morning. You know, it's 3 a.m. to 4 a.m. So that'll give you a little bit of an idea. It doesn't come into play a whole lot, but it does, like, when it comes to, like, time for the crucifixion and stuff like that, you'll see the times actually mentioned. So there you go. That you can keep that little chart. It kind of split over two pages. I apologize for that. But you can, you know, you have that for a reference. And I did actually kind of, I didn't copy and paste it, but I did heavily lean on some resources I found to kind of throw that together. So, and one other thing I forgot to mention that's in the paragraph up there at the top is that each hour, how did they have smaller units of time than an hour? You know, we have an hour, then we have 60 minutes and 60 seconds in a minute. Well, how did they do that? They did not use this evidently a whole lot. I did not find a lot of information, just kind of casual references to it, but they could divide an hour into 1,080 what are called chelikim. And I don't think that ever comes into play in the Bible, but just so you know, they did actually have some smaller units of time. I guess that's, you know, if they were timing people running the 40-yard dash, they would do it in chelikim. So anyway, that's how that works. Okay. So now we've established how time goes, the chelicum, and however you say that, and then the hours. And so we've made it through a day. So now let's make it through a week. So how do the Jews do a week? Now we know that they have a 7-day week that's based on, back in Genesis, the days of creation. Ta-da! So we have 6 days and then the seventh day, the Sabbath day, modeled after the days of creation, the seventh day, the day of rest. And that is their week. And this would cycle through. You know, there's no variation in this. This, you know, wasn't 4 weeks to a month. It didn't work that way. No matter what the month was, you never interrupt the cycle of weeks. So every seventh day is a Sabbath day. Every seventh day is a Sabbath day. That's the way it works, okay? I'm not going to try to pronounce these Hebrew names, but let me give you the translation for them. Sunday, for us, would be called first day. Monday, second day. Tuesday, third day. Wednesday, fourth day, Thursday, fifth day, Friday, sixth day. That's how you get from Monday or from Sunday through Friday in the Hebrew week. Now, they didn't have weekends like we do now, and you get Saturday and Sunday off, you know. But basically from Sunday through Friday, they just numbered them. It's just the first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day of the week. And a lot of cultures did that. I think our names come from like Roman times, but a lot of cultures, even still today, and these names here are actually still used. You know, the Hebrews don't call it Sunday. It's still first day, you know, to them in Hebrew, Yom Rishon, I think, you know, you say that. You can look this up. I actually have the transliteration. It's not in Hebrew letters, but the kind of the transliteration there. You can see Yom Rishon, Yom Rishini, and I'm not even going to go. I'm afraid I'll mess up, mispronounce something and say a cuss word or something in Hebrew. But that's how it works. Days 1 through 6, Sunday through Friday, that's how it works. Then we have the seventh day, which would be, I'll say this one in Hebrew. I don't think I'll mess it up too bad. Yom Shabbat, which we would call, and literally translate it, Sabbath day. Yeah, Shabbat to Sabbath. Wow, that's really a lot of change, isn't it? And that is our modern day Saturday. And now Sabbath does not mean seventh. Sabbath actually, it doesn't even mean rest. It means to cease from working. That's what that word means. So every seventh day, they had their Sabbath rest. They stopped working on the Sabbath. That was, you know, their holy day. And something that was very, very unique to the Jews. Even the seven-day week, different times and periods. Some cultures don't even have weeks. They just have months. And I think Rome actually had like a 10-day cycle week that they went through. And, you know, just how much times have changed in the last, you know, 2,000 years. That, you know, today we have 5-day work week and, you know, weekend. And, you know, not, well, I mean, to a Roman, every day was a work day, you know. You had to survive. In ancient cultures, you had to survive. You took the day off, it meant, you know, your wheat didn't get planted, you know. Nowadays, you know, my job, I'm expected to work Monday through Friday, and, you know, I get paid for it. They don't expect me to come in. If something blows up, I guess, you know, I need to, and I, you know, I will. But our modern-day work week, you know, hey, Monday through Friday, maybe Monday through Saturday for some people, but, you know, you get a day or two off. And that was, totally did not happen in a lot of ancient cultures. The Jewish culture, and same really, why do we do that nowadays? Well, Saturday being a day of rest, well, part of that is based on the Sabbath day. Part of it is, you know, hey, we just want an extra day off. The Christian culture started taking the first day because we celebrate, you know, the resurrection of our Lord on the first day. That's when we meet. So, you know, the first day kind of became the day off in Christian, quote-unquote, nations. You go to Israel today. Sunday is not a day off. It is Monday morning to us, basically. Sunday morning is when you go back to work. You get Saturday off, and Sunday morning you're back to work. And that actually makes it very difficult for missionaries over there. Because, you know, when they're over there and they want to have a Sunday service, well, you know, the Gentile, quote unquote, people, you know, the foreigner people, you know, they may actually, their companies may let them have Sunday off, but the Jewish people, they're working. You know, it's Sunday morning is their Monday morning. So it's very hard to, you know, 10 a.m. service, you've got people that are at the office. You know, they're not going to be showing up. So anyway, that's how the Jewish, the Hebrew week goes. Now the fun part, the Hebrew calendar. So we've made it from the chelicum to the hours, and I didn't get the Hebrew word for their hours, but to, you know, to the days, through the week. So now let's go beyond a week. We have months, and this is where we're going to get into the, we're actually going to look at the month and the year as one. Okay, so the Hebrew calendar is not like the Gregorian calendar we use today. Gregorian calendar, 365 days and, you know, 12 months, and they range from 28 to 31 days. That's, you know, and it doesn't matter what's going on. It just keeps cycling through. The only change is we get a leap day every 4 years. You know, we get February 29th. And it just keeps cycling through. And we've been using that for 250, 300 years. 1700s is when they switched that. That's very interesting, actually. Go back and look that up, when they switched from the Julian to the Gregorian calendar. And you can go and see headstones in America when they switched it over. It'll say, you know, born July 1st, you know, 1690. And it'll say OS for old style, the old style Julian date. And then it'll say, you know, died, and we'll just make it, we'll make this guy live a long time. 1800, wouldn't it be 110? You know, but he died July 1st, 1800. And it'll have, and, you know, and that will be the new date. So they would know to do that. And actually, when they switched calendars, they actually basically had to skip days to make it work to coincide. And different countries adopted it at different times. Most countries have adopted it now. I think there's a few holdouts. But there for a century or two, you know, there really was a lot of confusion. It could be July 1st on one side of the border and July 4th on the other side of the border because they're on two different calendars. It's crazy. Go back and read about some of the troubles they had with that. It is insane. and another reason why it is impossible to go back and set exact dates for when things happened in the time of Christ, from all these changes to the calendar. And, you know, and even sometimes they would just decide, hey, we're still a little bit off. Let's just add a day, another leap day for the fun of it. So anyway, that's the way that works. And even eventually, you know, even our leap day system is not perfect. They may actually have to have a second leap day at some point. You know, we don't have to do it very often, maybe every 1,000 years or something, but to keep everything exactly correct. But it'd take a while for us to drift off. We're actually very, very close. That is not the case with the Jewish calendar. It's very easy to get off from the solar calendar, like the Gregorian calendar is based off of. You know, our calendar is based on the 365 1/4, solar year that it takes for us to go around the earth to revolve around the sun. The Hebrew calendar doesn't care for the most part about where the planet Earth is revolving around the sun. Months are actually calculated using the moon. Use their lunar months, and so basically following the lunar cycle. When you have a new moon, it's a new month, and that's how that works. And which also, okay, new moon. New moon equals new month. A full moon would then fall in the middle of the month, around the 15th of the month. When we look at the dates for the different major holidays, you'll notice a lot of them happen on the 15th. Why? Because it's full moon. You got so much more light. You can actually do stuff, you know, during the nighttime and observe some of these things. It's not, you know, it's the moon isn't blacked out in the sky. You've got a full moon with a lot of light. So a lot of things would happen like that, even in different cultures are the same way, you know. But anyway, that's just kind of free, just a little thing to throw at you there. Because actually, let's look here. Yeah, I mean, a lot of these 10th, 14th, some of them are actually, you know, on the first of the month, but like Passover, it's the 15th. I mean, it takes place on the full moon, which explains, okay, the full moon is pretty much there when Christ, because his crucifixion takes place right before Passover, when they go into the when he's arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, are the people carrying torches and stuff? They really could have seen him very well. He wouldn't have been able to hide. If you've been out on a full moon and see how brightly lit the world is, he would have been pretty easy to find. They would not have had to search for him. So anyway, that's free. Okay. Back to the lunar cycles. Lunar cycles actually last about 29 and a half solar days. So that, you know, automatically going to get off. So that does create a problem for 365 1/4 day solar years. And that's not even exact, you know, get down to the second if you want to. So to compensate for this, it takes 12.4 lunar cycles per solar year to keep everything straight, to make sure, you know, that, you know, specifically say, like, you know, the winter solstice, I keep using that one, the winter solstice happens on the same day every year. You know, pretty much it does on the Gregorian calendar, but for a lunar calendar, it's going to get off. It's going to be all over the place as you keep cycling through. So how do they do this? Now, to keep up with that little quarter day in the solar calendar, the Gregorian calendar uses a leap day. You know, every 4 years, we get February 29th. To keep things straight and to keep, you know, summer festivals from happening in winter and things like that, from things getting really crazy, the Jewish, I mean, honestly, can you imagine, you know, they have, you know, a festival or a holy day that was supposed to correspond, you know, with like the barley harvest or something. Well, what happens if that takes place in the middle of winter? You know, how are they supposed to do it? So, to keep things kind of straight and get the lunar calendar to sync with the solar calendar, they use not leap days, they use leap months. Leap months. And they use there's a 19-year pattern that's used to calculate when there's going to be a leap month. It's a complex little system. It's got a name. You can look it up. But basically, they have a 19-year cycle where, this year three, we have a leap month. And year five, we have a leap month. And then it's year eight. And that's not right. I'm just, making that up. But that's how they do it. So a new month began with the first light of the new moon. So the way it works, looks like a little sliver of the moon is shining through there. And so, hey, guess what? It's now a new month. Can you imagine? It's like, boy, is it January or February? I can't tell is it shining through yet? You go out the next night. Now I see it. It's starting to shine. So now it's February 1st. That is basically how the Jewish calendar works. And I'm not laughing to make fun of it. I'm laughing at the complexity of this and trying to explain it. And it's so foreign to us. We're so ingrained. Time and measurement of time and our time system are so ingrained into how we think and how we operate that this just, it seems so crazy people would actually have used this. But most cultures actually used some variation of this. And I mean, you think about it, but before, until more precise forms of measurement, clocks came along, or water clocks, or, pendulum-based clocks, or even hourglasses really, really came in, and they really were able to precisely measure things. I mean, this is the best they could do. And I mean, hey, the Bible talks about, he created these things and the lights and the, basically says the sun and moon and stuff and the seasons, are there for measurement. And I mean, it works. Now, the other interesting thing I'll throw out there is that when you study prophecy does not run on a 365-day year in most cases. There's some people have got into like Revelation and add up and like, oh, well, look, this is, if you use 365, this works, and 360, this works and stuff. But a lot of prophecy is based on the Jewish calendar. And sometimes it's called the prophetic calendar, but it's 360 days long. And some people speculate things will happen during, during the tribulation period that will somehow make the earth go to a 360-day lunar cycle or a solar cycle, and that it'll all, get in sync, or that maybe in the past it was all in sync. And there is maybe some evidence for that. Almost all of the modern calendar or ancient calendars, shall we say, the Chinese calendar, the Mayan calendar, the Hebrew calendar, a lot of them all come from like the same time period. So there may have been something happen, and, everybody had to come up with a new calendar. So they did. At least that's what I've heard. I haven't done much study on that at all. As much as I have kind of studied some of the calendars, I hadn't got too deep into that. But anyway, that's how we work. the more modern calendar we use only dates back to about the 4th century. And now, that's not the Gregorian calendar, but the system on which the Gregorian calendar is based really dates back to about the 4th century. Even the Roman calendar, it was crazy. And, some months had a lot of days, some didn't. And, basically a Caesar could say, I want my own month. And, they had their own month. So, anyway. Okay. Another thing about the Hebrew calendar, and we'll go a little bit beyond months here. We'll come back to them. But the Hebrew years, how did they measure years? Well, they actually measure their years, date their, not like we do. We do the BC and AD, or if you're, one of the more atheistic liberal types, you might use BCE and CE for before common era and common era. But anyway, we use the AD and BC, and we date everything back to Jesus, supposedly. And we talked about that in the previous lesson, but back to supposedly when Jesus was born, You know, so 1 AD is when he was born, and we date everything, we date our calendar from his coming. That's the way the Christian world dates their calendar. Well, there's some calendars that don't do that, that they have their own, and cultures and things, that they have their own numbering system. And the Jewish people are one of them. And they date their date their years back to what they calculated at some point. I don't remember exactly when they figured this, but they date it from what they consider creation. And so, for instance, just to give you, on September 17th, 2012, that's when on the Jewish calendar, the year 5773 starts. So, right now it's year 5772. Right now, as I'm recording this on Monday, April 2nd, 2012. But, the year 5773 will actually run from September 17th, 2012 to September 5th, 2013. So that's, how it worked corresponding to us, just to give you an idea of how they date it. But so as I'm recording this, it's 5772. They consider it to be the 5772nd year from creation. So that's how they date. And that actually sounds pretty good to me, probably pretty close by my calculations. All right. There is a little shortcut. I'll throw this out there. There's a shortcut to convert our Gregorian calendar years to Jewish years, is you subtract 1,240 and then add 5,000, and that works. So, little rule of thumb there. Remember that. If you're ever in a jam and you need to convert it, that's how you do it. Subtract 1,240 and then add 5,000. Now, how they designate this, so they don't use BC or AD or BCE, BC or CE or all that, they don't do that. And this really threw me for a loop, and I had to look this up and find this. But the Jewish years often have the little suffix added to them, A period M period. You've usually capitalized, and that's not like morning like we use for time. It's actually Latin, and it means Anno Mundi, which is in the year of the world. So basically they're saying, that... the year 5000 was the 5000th year of the world. So like we're talking about them dating from creation, that's the little suffix that'll be added on to a Jewish date. And it's, if you get on to most Bible resources and stuff, don't mess with that. But if you get into some of the, and not just Hebrew stuff, I'm talking about the Jewish religious stuff, you will see AM dates. So there you go. You'll know what it is. Okay, the Hebrew calendar. Let's talk about this. I've got in the notes a chart, and there's a bunch of charts. You can actually find this quite a few places online. There are 12 Hebrew months. They range from 29 to 30 days, and some of them can be 29 or 30 days. Under the modern system, they don't just look for, the first sliver of light. This is the more modern calendar. And I'll give you the rough corresponding time period. Nisan is month one. 30 days last from March to April. Iyar, and I'm slaughtering these, I know, 29 days, April to May. Sivan, 30 days, May to June. Tammuz, 29 days, June to July. Av, 30 days, July to August. Elul, 29 days, August to September. Tishri, 30 days, September to October. Cheshvan, 29 or 30 days, October to November. Kislev, I think that's how you say it. 29 or 30 days, November to December. Tevet, 29 days, December to January. Shavat, 30 days, January to February. And then you get to the 12th month, and this is our leap month. We have the month of Adar. And if it's not a leap month, it has 29 days, and it runs in February or March. If it's a leap year, we have the month of Adar 1. or Adar the First. And it runs for 30 days, and it's February to March. And that is the leap month. And so the regular month of Adar becomes Adar the Second, Adar 2. And it has the regular 29 days, and still it'll fit in February, March, same time period. So when they have if they don't have a leap month, it just, you know, they just have the month of Adar. If they do have a leap month, they have Adar 1 and Adar 2, and Adar 2 is the real month. Adar 1 is the leap month. So they don't tack it on to the end. They keep it before that for various reasons. So that is the Hebrew calendar with grossly mispronounced month names. You can look them up, and I'm sure you can find some like Hebrew language websites that you can play somebody who knows what they're doing reading those. But that'll give you an idea. And a lot of these, there's a few of these you don't really see in the Bible, but you will see some of these in the Bible. And that's what we're going to look at with the different holy days. And that's what we'll get into next. We've covered time. We've covered from, you know, hours to days to weeks to months to years. So I just want to look at in the typical cycle of a Jewish year, you know, what are some of the highlights? What are some of the holy days? Just to give you an idea of, you know, kind of when they take place. And a lot of these, if you're curious about how they relate to the Gregorian calendar, if you'll look up, you know, when is Hanukkah, you know, 2012, 2013, you know, you can look up and you can find that. There's a lot of places online that'll do those calculations or have charts for you. But anyway, the first holy day, I'm gonna call them holy days. You could say holidays, but holidays is just a, you know, kind of a contraction of holy day. Anyway, I wonder if you didn't know that. That's where that works. But we have Rosh Hashanah, and that is the Jewish New Year, and that's the first day of Tishrei, which September, October for us. That's the first day of the Jewish New Year. All right, then we have Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement, and that's on the 10th of Tishrei. And then we have Sukkot. I'm not even close on that, I know, but that's the 14th of Tishrei, and that's the Feast of Tabernacles. Then we have Hanukkah, which lasts from the 25th of Kislev to either the 2nd or 3rd of Tevet, depends on how many days Kislev has. And that's the Festival of Lights. You know, that's kind of the... Some people say it's the Jewish Christmas. That's not the case at all, but it just happens to kind of fall, in December. So, you know, around Christmas time. So during the holiday season, that's the Jewish holiday. We have Purim, which, you know, was founded with in the time of Esther. That's the 14th of Adar, and that's the Festival of Lots. This is where things get kind of goofy. Again, for us, when I say goofy or crazy, I'm not being judgmental or anything. I'm just saying this is where it gets hard for a poor boy from Texas to understand these things. The Jewish New Year actually starts on the 1st of Tishrei. But the New Year for kings, when you date the reigns of kings, is the 1st of Nisan. And it's also... It's the Hebrew New Year. The Jewish New Year, as far as the cycle of the festivals, is the 1st of Tishrei. The Hebrew New Year, as far as for the calendar, is the 1st of Nisan. That's the way this works. And it gets really complicated. There's actually two or three different kind of calendar cycles that are for different reasons. I'm sorry, I messed that up completely. The Jewish New Year is Rosh Hashanah, 1st of Tishrei. And that is for religious purposes. The Hebrew New Year is the 1st of Nisan, and that's what the calendar will turn with, if I'm remembering right. And so 1st of Nisan, that actually takes place March or April, somewhere in there. And we have Pesach, I don't know how to say that. That's the 15th of Nisan. The English name, Passover, much easier for me to say. All right, and the next one is much easier for me to say. I actually looked this up and tried to get this right when I was doing a Sunday school lesson. It's Shavuot. I think that's actually very close. And that is the sixth of Sivan. I had to go back and re-record this because my notes said Nisan, but it's Sivan. And this is Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks. And I think that date may actually vary a little bit, but that's actually very close because it's actually calculated as the 50th day from Passover. Anyway, that's the major feasts and major days and stuff and kind of how they fall into the Jewish year. And so you can kind of look up and you can kind of check out, that's in the month of Sivan. So that would take place, May, June. A lot of these actually even correspond to different harvests or different states of the harvest. You know, they would have free time because or maybe tied to, the harvest or maybe planting. A lot of this will even revolve around like an agricultural type calendar too. So, but anyway, that'll at least give you an idea. And that is a really broad overview. If you want some more information, I have some links, and you can do some research. If you just get online and look up, Jewish calendar, Jewish holidays, stuff like that, you can find a lot of great resources that will explain them. A lot of them will go, especially on the holidays, will go from the more modern, explain the modern Jewish traditions. It's a little bit harder to go in and find a lot on the ancient Jewish traditions. It's there, but you may have to dig a little bit more to find it. But I've got a few links of some resources I use to help put this together, and that those are in the notes, which will be available on the website by the time you hear this, in complete form. But at least this lesson, it'll be there, and you can look it up. So, anyway, wow, this one went a lot longer than I expected. But I hope you've stuck with me, and this may be a good one. If you haven't already done it, go get the notes and listen to it again. I should say at the beginning, go get the notes and have them with you so you can kind of follow with me. But I got a bunch of charts. This is probably the longest page-wise notes I've had for a lesson, just because some of the charts were quite big. Let's see, actually, how many pages is this? 1, 2, 3, 4 pages of notes, and most of that's charts. So anyway, I'm glad you stuck with me. If I hope that you've learned something. I did putting this together, and I learned how confusing it all can be. I learned quite a bit about how it all works, a lot about the Jewish culture, how the time is measured and stuff. I learned a lot about it. I hope that's a help to you, giving you an idea of how things work. And that'll really help you understand some little details in the Bible. So there we go. That's it. If you enjoyed this, check out other resources at BaptistBasics.org. Email me, podcast@BaptistBasics.org. Love to hear you. Stay tuned for the next lesson. I haven't made the notes for it yet. I don't know what it's going to be. I'm sure it'll be good, and it'll probably be a lot more exciting than dates and calendars like I've done in the first two. In fact, I'll go out on a limb, and I'll promise I will find an exciting one and put here. It's not going to be the warfare one, though. I'm saving that one for last, where we talk about war. I'm making everybody wait till I do warfare. That'll be our big finale, because that's the great blood and guts and everything. So, anyway, thanks for listening. I'm Matthew Gage. I hope it's been a help and a blessing to you.